And good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is time now for the Green Country Gardener program, as that fine young man just told you a little bit ago. And a finer young man is Larry Glass, and he's in studio with us. And, of course, phone lines are open for your questions and your comments like, hey, when's it going to rain? And then Larry will blame it on me. You can do that at 1-800-749-5936. Other than the rain, Larry, how you doing? You doing okay?
Yeah, doing just fine.
All right, super.
Actually, I busted my boot this week.
Well, you usually break a shovel.
Yeah, about this time. Well, I did that too, but anyway.
You've got things breaking all over the place.
The daggum back of my boots are all busted off here.
Oh, done. Got it.
They're only 4 months old.
Oh, well, you know, you're just breaking them in and they're breaking them in.
I get breaking them in and breaking them in.
Yeah, there we go.
Hey, what's with this weather? What's the matter with you guys?
Well,
unusually wet weather has caused some problems with people's plants.
Yeah, well, we thought we'd extend April a couple of months.
They're bringing in pictures. What is wrong? What is wrong?
Take a look up.
It was cold this morning. Golly, I set the choke on my truck for warm weather, and it wouldn't hardly start.
Oh.
What's the matter with you people? God, make the weather. Fix the weather already.
Something like 48 when I got.
I know. It's crazy. The 40s are going to reset the thing for winter. But anyway, there are some problems with people's plants.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of a leaf anthracnose.
Oh.
Ooh, that sounds bad. Ooh.
It sounds like disease.
Well, it is. It's a fungal disease that some of the maples get when it's cool and wet like this, and some of the Bradford pears get it too.
Mm-hmm.
The sycamores get it especially. You find all these leaves all over the ground.
Ugh.
And that's a common fungus. You can't do much about it, and I wouldn't worry about it either.
We got a fungus among us.
It's just part of the deal out here.
When it rains like this, it's going to happen.
Yeah. What is it? Yeah, it typically does. Yeah. I remember 2 years ago there was such a bad case of leaf anthracnose. Golly, some of the maple trees got almost completely defoliated.
That's not good.
Yeah, but they came back. Yeah, but it was earlier in the spring, and the growth cycle was still going. So you could see on the if you look on the stem of the tree, at what time we experienced the leaf anthracnose, and it was very wet early that spring. And then the trees continued to grow, and after that they didn't have any problems. So, but this year it's a little late. It's almost June.
Yeah, summertime's knocking, and
they're going to stop.
There's
growth is slowing down, so you expect a little bit of distortion. Yeah. Maybe not as pretty a fall color this year because of it. But anyway, that's Oklahoma. So. There are a few rose problems, too, lawn problems and daylily problems. Some of the annuals are rotting away, and there's more rain on the way. So, golly, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Well, my knockouts
are looking
good. What
you can do in your garden is I would, on your annuals, your annual beds, I would hesitate putting mulch down at this point and keep the soil surface cultivated.
Okay.
And that'll help aerate it, and that would help a whole lot in your annual beds for that, if you have time to do that. Most people don't. But I took time the other day before it rained to air it and got all packed down again.
Can't go out and do it again.
Do it again tomorrow. It'll rain again on Monday and smash it down again. Anyway, so keeping the soil loose and cultivated. Also, before you plant your annuals, I know it's a little late, but we talked about this earlier in the spring. Add a lot of compost, a lot of organic material to keep the soil open, to keep the porosity of the soil open. Then you won't have so much of a problem with our ever-increasing annually monsoon season we seem to have this time of year. So, anyway, by the way, we do have some hanging baskets.
Yep.
Anyway, coupons here for hanging baskets.
Some coupons.
They're good for a flowering hanging basket. That would be a periwinkle basket, a million bells, petunia, any kind of annual flowering basket to come by and pick one of those up. It's, $20, $20-something value, so.
So if you're one of our callers today, you can win one.
You do have to come by the radio station to pick up the coupon. That's the radio station regulations or criteria, whatever, to do that. So.
And we're broadcasting from Bartlesville today, and that would be 1200 East Frank Phillips Boulevard. And upstairs.
It's that funny-looking white building with the big satellite dishes up front.
All over the place, yeah.
That's a radio station.
Kind of obvious it does something with that.
Well, but, yeah, especially, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, open till noon today, closed Monday, and then regular business hours after that, just so you knows. Okay. And our phone line today, we do have a question or comment for Larry, our expert at 1-800-749-5936. There you go.
Right. And also, in light of all the rain we're having, I would say let's go ahead and if you do have some crabgrass preventer handy, maybe the end of this week, perhaps a second application of a crabgrass control.
Does it kind of thrive in this kind of stuff?
Well, think what it does, all the rain and especially the one we had earlier, a little while ago this week, a couple of days ago.
The two-incher in about an hour? Yeah.
Right. just cleans everything out. And so at least there won't be any crabgrass on the river bank, but but nonetheless, it does dilute it quite a bit. Mm. And the impact of the rain breaks it up, and it does have a tendency to get overly diluted when that happens.
Good.
So it doesn't hurt to put a little bit more, a light application, it won't hurt at all.
Okay.
But if it rains so much like it did on Monday, then you might want to consider reapplying perhaps midweek next week. Just so you don't have to put up with the crabgrass.
Just a little dabble, do you?
A little bit, yeah. So if you do have another bag in the garage, well, you will have purpose for it. Also, before the rain comes, it's time for another application of fertilizer on the Bermuda grass.
Ah,
I'm planning. You want to do that on a monthly. You want to have a constant feed like that, just so it looks
a
nice
cycle
all the
going
time.
There. Yeah.
And take advantage of the fact right now that there is adequate moisture to get the grass really growing and get it really healthy.
All right.
It's a great time for that, too. Let the rain work for you.
Let's go to the telephones here. Hi, good morning, and welcome. You're on with the Green Country Gardener. Your question.
Good morning, and thank you. I got a question about the million bells.
Yes.
My wife wanted to know, can you cut them back? How do you sort of maintain them as time goes along?
Million bells, they're pretty easy to grow, and they do respond pretty well to being cut back.
Okay.
Million bells, they're related to petunias, so they do require a little bit of dryness here and there. So, it doesn't hurt them to cut them back at all. In fact, it'll encourage more blooms if you do.
Okay.
And on the other hand, you might want to consider feeding them on a regular basis, too.
Fertilize them a little bit.
Yeah. Something like Miracle-Gro or Osmocote, something like
right.
that would keep them going.
Right. Okay. Well, she had another question. Oh, geraniums. That's what she wanted me to ask you about. I got to be quiet. She's still sleeping, probably. Anyway.
I know how that goes.
Until she pops in here and glares at me. So, on geraniums, her buds are so small. Do they need to be fed or something?
I think what we need on the geraniums is a little bit more warm weather.
And, okay.
They do like good drainage. So, if they're in are they in a pot?
Yes, sir, okay. They are.
Just make sure if there's a saucer under the pot, make sure it's elevated above that somehow. Gravel's a good way to put take the pot out of the saucer and put some gravel on it and put the pot back on, and that way it won't sit in water.
Right, okay. That water issue is something else, isn't it?
It's a mess. You try to run a landscape company through that. We're out there working in this stuff. Golly, and geez. That's
too bad. Too bad I didn't like TV. We can record it and then run it back later on when it's dry.
That's for sure. Okay. Yeah, but encourage good drainage on the geraniums. They like it kind of warm. And on the million bells, don't hesitate to cut them back and make sure you fertilize them on a fairly regular basis to encourage more blooms.
All right. One other question for me now. On my tomatoes, which they have really grown with a lot of foliage in there, can that foliage just be trimmed out to where, it's just they're so thick?
Yeah. Well, tomatoes put out what we call suckers on them. And
right.
You want to try to maintain the main stem, and at least on the lower part of the plant, you want to cut out those suckers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I did that on one plant, and the wind sort of blew the plant over, so I got to get it staked up.
When I plant my tomatoes, I've got a fence panel that's held up with T-posts. It's 16 feet long, and I just plant them and forget them, and they do fine.
Yeah, in my yard, I had to be selective. I've got one here and one here and one here and one here, just where I could rob a little.
They're out behind the shed, and I might have time once every 2 weeks to go check on them.
You lucky rascal.
get a flashlight out there. Look at night. But anyway, yeah. So, there's two schools of thought. Actually, last year they got too thick, and the tomatoes didn't do very well. They're too much foliage.
Yeah, that's part of what I'd wonder if I couldn't sort of thin it out.
Yeah.
All right, sir. I appreciate your help.
Can we get a first name for you?
Your first name? You put you in the running for a hanging basket.
Roger.
Roger. Okay,
all right,
Roger.
All right, thank you very much.
I'll say Roger over and out and listen to you.
Roger Wilco, we got
you. Thanks for calling.
Oh, man. Don't wake up the missus. Come on.
Another frequently asked question of the week is, why are parts of my tree dying?
Yeah.
We have.
Why is that happening?
just this one branch just selectively just dies. Something is causing that.
It's not living.
And typically what happens is boring insects.
You got bored to death.
Yeah. I guess you could say that. They got bored to death. Yeah, borers are a real problem with members of the Acer family. That includes, Japanese maples and maples and whatnot. Some of the pine species also get it in spruces, basically across the board. Even pistache tree. I saw a pistache tree that had a borer infestation on it this week. And you look at the tree branch, and borers typically will go and attack the southwest face of the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because there's more warmth in the afternoon and the wintertime.
Got it.
And it's an adaptive strategy they've developed. I don't know if they have a GPS or something, but they typically inhabit that region of the unless it's in a forest situation, mm-hmm. where there is no really direct sun on it, they'll go in any part of the tree. But typically the ones in the lawn and the open will do that. Maple trees, it's pretty easy to spot. You look for very round little holes,
mm-hmm.
and an irregular pattern. In other words, if you have one down here, then one way over there, and one up here, mm-hmm. something like that. That's an indication of borers. Another thing that causes problems with maple trees are sapsuckers.
Oh, boy.
They're little birds, and they grip onto the bark and bore into the trunk and suck out the sap. Or they might be looking for borer insects as well.
Oh.
And they go like you're eating corn. back and forth.
Jiminy.
Depends on how you eat corn.
Oh, yeah.
Some people do it this way. But anyway.
The old typewriter. Ding.
Yeah, like a typewriter, yeah. And then there'll be a row, then a bit low, that would be another row. Anyway, the sapsuckers leave a patterned holes in there, and borers leave an irregular pattern on there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you can tell one from the other. If you do have sapsuckers, typically you can put some tree wrap on it,
mm-hmm.
and that'll change their behavior, and they'll go on somewhere else, perhaps.
Got it.
They don't like that polyethylene or polypropylene tree wrap or the tar paper stuff.
They don't like that too well,
and they're not attracted to it, and that'll make them move on. And then after a while, you can take that wrap off and then check the condition of the trunk. What they do is they bore so close to each other,
mm-hmm.
that it severs the link between the root and the top of the tree and girdles it, if you will.
Oh, not good.
And it causes a severe weakening of the tree, and ultimately it dies. If you have a combination of borers and sapsuckers and woodpeckers,
you
just move. Now, how do we control borers?
Yeah.
One thing I like to use on borers is the imidacloprid.
Oh, yes.
It's a systemic insecticide.
Mm-hmm.
And we sell it in a bottle that says bore control,
mm-hmm.
or tree and shrub insect control.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does it do borers, but it does scale insects as well. And the key word there in what this stuff controls is the word insect. It won't control mites, spider mites.
No.
They don't have the same neural physiology as insects do, so that doesn't affect the mites.
Got it.
So, but anyway, imidacloprid will pretty much clear that up. I've got some big maple trees in my house, and some of the wood looks like Swiss cheese.
Oh, not good.
So I need to get some of that stuff on there, too.
We got a caller on the line who's hoping none of your trees look like Swiss cheese. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well, and I just had a question.
Yep.
in your leaves. Is that that fungus that y'all were talking about earlier?
You cut out on the feed, so I didn't hear the entire question. Could you repeat the question, please?
Yes, sir. All these magnolia trees around town, I'm seeing a lot of dead leaves around them and stuff. Is that that fungus you were describing earlier?
In the case of the magnolias, right around the end of May, 1st of June, is when they lose their leaves.
Oh, okay. So that's just normal for them to be looking kind of pathetic.
Yeah, that's true. They look a little pathetic right now. What you want to look on the magnolia trees right now is growth. They should be having some pretty good growth on them at this point, and that'll replace the leaves that have fallen off. So that's why
I didn't know whether they were because of the winter and stuff they were damaged or if that was just normal.
I think we're going to have more exfoliation this year because of that. Primarily more damage on the leaves, so they will drop probably more leaves. This was an anomalous cold spell, and basically out of their range. So we expect some of that, a little bit more leaf drop, but they'll come.
Okay.
They'll be all right.
Thanks a lot.
And your first name, please.
Stan.
Stan. Okay, Stan. Yeah. Back at school, they told us don't ever trim up a magnolia tree. You always want to leave the low branches on the ground, because if you try to keep it clean underneath there, you'll be raking it every single day. they drop stuff all the time.
Thank you for your call, Stan. Appreciate it. We're going to have to take a little bit of a break here. We'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener program in just a moment after this two-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Reynolds. I literally had a 73-year-old lady. She came in and wanted to rent one of these track hoes. And she said, do you have one that a lady can operate? A lot of this equipment, it's like a video game. It's hand-eye coordination. This lady came in, rented this track hoe, and dug a trench in front of her house for a French drain that she said she had been trying to get her husband to do for years. We're up here on the southeast corner of Highway 60 and 75, 3801 Nowa. Water Road, United Reynolds.
Spring is here at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of annuals, perennials, herbs, trees, and shrubs arriving daily. It's a must-see what they have in stock. Get ready for spring at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home to Bartlesville's largest plant selection. Discount days are back. Every Wednesday, take 10% off regular priced items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowater Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5, Sunday.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Melissa Wandel was 9 months pregnant with her first child when her husband Mark was killed in a car accident. His life insurance made a huge difference for Melissa and her daughter Madison.
I wasn't going to have to worry about going to work every day, leaving her in the hands of somebody else, struggling day by day to get by.
A message from the Nonprofit Life Foundation.
Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. It is 827. Our phone lines are open today at 1-800-749-5936. As soon as I said that, they got flooded. Let's go ahead and take a call. Hi, good morning. You have a question for Larry?
Well, first, I want to know, can he make it stop raining? Well, all my seeds are washing away.
Hey, if I could, I would. What we need to do is tie a big old rope around these clouds and just have them stay where they are. And then just let them go in August when we need it.
That's right. My question is about crepe myrtles.
Yeah.
I've got my stalks don't show any signs of life, but from the bottom, they're all growing up new life. So should I cut my stalks off or... never had that happen.
Yeah, at this point, the stems on the crepe myrtles, if they're not going to come out, they're not going to come out.
Okay.
So,
Would it be okay to cut them then, if to make room for the
new leaves? The new leaves. Yeah. What you want to do, if you want them tree form again this year, go ahead and let them grow on their own the way they want to. And then next fall or in the winter, thin out the branches and keep anywhere from 3 to 5 of the best looking stalks on the after this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So go ahead and good thing is this year all the flowers are going to be at eye level.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, I had some at my house. They're about 15 feet tall, and now they're starting from the ground up. But you couldn't see the flowers. They're way up there. So they'll be at a level where they can actually be part of the composition instead of having to look at them from an airplane.
Yeah. So I usually have to put a fence or something around mine because they get too tall and want to fall over.
So anyway. Go ahead and fertilize them like you normally do. You want to get them some fairly high phosphorus fertilizer. That'll encourage better blooms, better green color on them. And you don't really have to worry about watering them, obviously, this year.
No.
And just let them go the way they want to go right now, and then do some training this winter.
Okay. Okay, then. Okay. Well, good information,
very good.
Man.
Okay, your first name is? She'll put you in the running for one of these big old hanging baskets.
Oh, Rhonda.
Okay, Rhonda. All right, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All righty now. We'll see what we can do about the rain. I'll put in a good word.
Well, that is printed on yellow paper, so I guess that means maybe.
Maybe. A little iffy.
Either that or hurry through the intersection.
Not in this town.
Okay. Well, we were talking a little bit about borers on trees and whatnot, and if you can get rid of the borers, chances are they'll heal up and do okay.
There you go.
Trees are very good about being healing up like that when they're damaged. Sometimes it actually makes them grow a little better.
Toughens them up, you say?
Toughens them up, yeah.
That which does not kill them
sometimes.
Makes it stronger?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. So watch the borers on your tree. And I indicated what to look for, too.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so in the garden right now, get the gardens and shrub beds ready for the heat. How do we do that? Mulch. It's I say on here on my dialogue, mulch your tomatoes. Typically, that's what happens this time of the year. But let's wait on that because it's going to be raining the entire next week. You ruined my Memorial Day. What's the matter with you guys? Jeez, like 90% chance of rain Memorial Day.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So anyway, so I would put
your
that
only
off
day off and it rains.
I know. So, but anyway, so typically we want, now your shrubs and things can be mulched.
Yeah.
And does very well. So we sell mulch in a bulk form.
Mm-hmm.
We have a 10 cubic foot bucket.
Yeah.
And a 10 cubic foot will cover 3 inches, 40 square feet. That's an area of 6.32 by 6.32 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of coverage. But
it'll get you done.
That equals a whole bunch of bags of mulch, and it comes out a little bit less expensive than the bag mulch. So,
got it.
Anyway, we got the mulch. We also have some real good quality, high quality cedar mulch in bags, too, as well. They're more convenient to carry to the backyard, perhaps. Mm-hmm. It will bear as a flat tire. So, anyway, so mulch.
Yep.
For appearance and also to help conserve moisture. So, that would be good to do. A little bit later on, you want to mulch your tomatoes, typically when the ground temperature is pretty warm.
Mm-hmm.
You want to spray for insects and fungus on your roses.
Got it.
Right now. Soil should be loose and easy to work at this time. Ha ha. Time for that second application of pre-emergent herbicide on your beds.
Mm-hmm.
If you applied it back in February or March to keep the winter weed or the summer weeds under control. Okay?
Got it.
Compose your annual plantings first is a good idea. If you haven't bought your annuals yet, most people have, do a little bit of a compositional kind of thing. In other words, I want something tall and red here, something low and white there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look and see what's available in those that meet those criteria. So I sort of like to do layering on that.
Mm-hmm.
It looks kind of nice too. Tall in the back, short in the front. Pretty simple. You got a caller?
Sure do. Hi, good morning. Welcome. You're on with the Green Country Gardener. Your question, please. All right, try it again. Hi, good morning. You're on with the Green Country Gardener. All right.
Huh.
We had a ghost. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be back after this 2-minute timeout.
Summer is almost here, and that means grilling season is about to begin. During their Memorial Day sale, Peters True Value has the Weber Spirit 2E LP gas grill on sale for $419. Protect it with a premium grill cover for only $499. Summer also means honeydew projects, and Peters has DeWalt 12-volt tool combo kit for $119. Shop Peters True Value for these bargains and more during the Memorial Day sale going on now through May 30th. That's Peter's True Value in Dewey.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in your closet. The back of your closet. What am I doing here? Would you keep caviar in the back of your fridge with the ketchup and old milk? Yeah, I don't think so. So, what happened to us? I mean, have you seen my label? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Sure, I never really fit you quite right, and one of my pockets is so small you can't even squeeze your hand into it. But it's all about the look. And I look good. I need to get back out on the scene so I can be seen. You know, going to fancy parties, getting expensive iced coffees, Sunday fun days, okay? So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
They say the early bird gets the worm, but the early bird around here gets informed with K1 Morning News weekday mornings at 6. I'm Tom Davis. I'll have your headlines. Phil Weaver has your entertainment and your long-range forecast. Weather highlights with KOTV News on 6 meteorologist Alan Crone and sports with Evan Farbach. Wake up energized and informed. K1 Morning News weekdays 6 to 10 on K1, the one you trust. Good morning. It is 8:36. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program right here on your favorite radio stations. And our toll-free line is open at 1-800-749-5936. What you got going on, Larry?
Hey, guy. I like that announcer. I don't know who Kevin hired, but he does a real good job announcing the radio.
Yeah. He's got mad skills.
Somebody
man.
The name of Tom. I don't
Something
know who
like that.
Is. Anyway. Okay.
Found him out on the roadside picking up cans and said, here you go.
There you go. One thing we want to look for in the garden right now are look on your azaleas real closely.
Yeah.
Run your hand through them, and if you see a whole lot of tiny little insects flying around,
yep,
those are lace bugs.
Lace bugs.
Lace bugs. Okay. Lace wings, also, they're also called, too. They're a very, very tiny little insect, and they're kind of pretty, really.
Are they edible?
I never thought of that.
Well, you know, people in South America eat a lot of, they just dip chocolate on bugs and eat them.
It'll take an awful lot to make even a snack. They're so tiny.
Gotcha.
You sharpen a pencil and look at the tip of the pencil. That's about the size they are.
Yeah.
So anyway, they work in concert with each other and draw the juices out of the plant.
Oh.
Now, you know you have lace bugs on your azaleas when we have color?
Yeah.
Okay, put them on.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program. Your question for Larry.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's okay.
You're good. You're here to answer questions.
You have priority.
Okay. Actually, a month ago, you told us to maybe use BT on, like my juniper, for the bagworms,
right?
Yeah, and I was going to spray it around the 15th. Well, it's rained ever since. And so, but today I could do it, and tomorrow's good. Looks clear. a good day that I wouldn't have to redo it then?
The BT has some residual effect on it. It doesn't stay in there, so yeah. I'd go ahead and do that. Yeah, but actually, if you do have bagworms, you want to go ahead and spray, but you can do a kind of an in-depth study, if you will. Try to see if you can find any in the very small stage.
What do I look for? I know what the bag looks like, but I don't know what the before them looks like.
At this point in time, if there are, I think everything's a little bit delayed this year, but nonetheless.
Yeah, I do.
If you do see, if you look for little tiny little bagworms, they'll be probably maybe a quarter inch or a half inch in size at this point. Okay. And also, if it's not too windy, go downwind and see if you can kind of smell kind of a junipery smell. Then that would indicate the presence of bagworms. And so those are the two things you can look and be aware of. And just look
so
real closely.
You don't think they're there yet? Is that what you're saying?
I haven't seen any yet. I've looked on some people's plants. I ring the doorbell. Sometimes it takes forever for them to come to the door. So then I look at their plants. It's like a doctor, you know, whatever. and I haven't seen any quite yet.
I haven't either. Well, I usually see the bag, so.
Yeah, but you know what they say about an ounce of prevention.
So. Okay, so would it just be a waste if they're not there and I spray today?
Not necessarily. They can come at any time, really. And it depends on when the eggs hatch and all that, when they start to come out. And we really have not had any weather enough for them to do that yet.
Yeah.
True. Everything seems to be a little delayed this year.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
And your first name is?
I already got one, a million bell, and it's gorgeous.
Oh, well, very good.
Okay. Alrighty. Thank you, Bell.
Well, thank you for calling.
Appreciate it. Alrighty. We were talking about lace bugs, and you said they didn't go good with chocolate, and they wouldn't make a good snack.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Typically they're on your azaleas.
Oh yeah.
So the evidence of lace bug is a stippling of the leaf on the top side.
Gotcha.
Look at the bottom of the leaf. There'll be a little tiny brown specks on the leaf on the bottom. That's an indication of lace bugs. As soon as you get in there, they just fly out.
Oh yeah.
So they're not on there until you go away, and then they come back. Whatever.
See how sneaky they are.
Yeah. Ooh. So, but anyway, lace bugs can be controlled also with the imidacloprid too. It's just good because there are other things that can attack the azaleas, the scale and all that other stuff too. So, we used to use Dicistan years ago, and it's a good broad spectrum. It even controlled mites, but it's off the market. So we have the imidacloprid, which controls insects, but doesn't do a good job on mites. So, well, anyway. Also on your azaleas, look for diminishing leaf size and yellowish leaf color. A lot of times with a lot of rain, we get some wash out of the soil, and they just need some more fertilizer. They might need some more peat moss if there's a lot of outwash in the area. Look down at the roots and see if there's some exposed roots. And you might consider mixing up some peat moss with some water, perhaps, and patting it on the ground, if you will, to cover the roots, and then applying a layer of mulch on top of that just so it doesn't wash out in the rain. The leaves getting increasingly smaller is a sign that the pH is increasing on your azaleas.
Gotcha.
So just a good azalea fertilizer will control that. Okay. Will control chlorosis, if you will. Okay, so that's kind of it with azaleas. The perennials right now, it's time to plant new perennials really in good soil. The daylilies are starting to bloom. I see some daylilies out in open sun. Say they're planted in a planter island that's kind of mounded up. They're doing great. Mine aren't blooming.
They're not?
They're not in a mounded bed.
Oh, geez.
But anyway, in some cases, they're starting to bloom out in the open sun.
Yeah.
There's a variety of daylily called, the re-blooming type, Stella Doro. That and some parallels to the Stella Doro. They bloom fairly consistently through the summer, and they do so if they are divided every 3 years.
Got it.
So if your Stella Doro or accompanying varieties of daylilies that do bloom perpetually in the summer are not doing that, this fall and winter you might consider dividing them out.
Got it.
They're overcrowded. So that'll make them bloom.
Good.
Okay. Let's see what else. Coneflowers should be showing signs of blooms at this point also. I noticed driving through the country, a lot of the wildflowers are starting to exhibit some blooms.
Oh, yeah.
So the coneflowers are starting to do that, too. So here comes summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Anytime.
Here comes Noah's Ark babbling down Frank Phillips Boulevard.
Yeah.
Today there's icebergs on the Caney River. You guys really know how to do stuff with the weather.
Yeah.
Anyway, trees, container, and bald and burlap trees can be planted about any time. You just, at this point in time, you just can't move them.
Wow.
And also be sure to water them properly. We have a caller?
Yes. All right. Good morning and welcome. You're on with the Green Country Gardener. Your question, please.
Larry, just like a bad penny, I'm back again.
Hello.
This is Roger. Hello?
Yeah, hey, Roger.
Okay. These lace bugs, they get into tomatoes and stuff like that, don't they?
Tomatoes have a problem with white flies. More so
with
than
what?
White flies, more so than lace bugs.
Okay.
And the best control for that on
what do you spray them with?
Neem oil.
Okay, and that won't bother the pollination.
It shouldn't really. No.
Okay, that's what I really wanted to know because I. You know, I'm sort of a believer in neem oil, so
yeah,
I noticed a lot of that, a lot of those little, you know, just little fine things, and you happen to hit the plant, and they just fly everywhere.
Yeah, that's just white fly.
I knew that probably wasn't good, so that's one thing I wanted to ask you, too, is about spraying these things like tomatoes that need pollination and everything.
Yeah, the neem oil. The neem oil will affect the fertilization process. It will seal off the stamens. So,
what do you mean it'll affect the fertilization?
It'll keep the pollen from going out of the stamens, or it'll seal off the pistils, one of the two. So be careful.
Maybe it's not a good idea to spray them yet.
Probably so.
Okay.
Excuse me, but anyway.
That's what I was wanting to.
Look at your blooms and look at the stage of the blooms, too, and if they're not open yet, you can put the neem oil on. One advantage of the neem oil is not only does it smother out the insects, but it also it's a life cycle interrupter. It does arrest the metamorphosis process. Yes.
Well, there's my blooming on them, and you know I don't know whether it's the weather or what, but it's they're at different stages.
Yeah.
And I figure I better maybe not spray them with anything just yet.
Right. Now a lot of the blooms on the tomatoes face downwards.
Yeah, okay.
And then you could spray from above, and it'll limit the effect on the blooms that way.
All right.
Of course,
yeah,
then again...
go ahead. No, go ahead.
Then again, on the same page, a lot of the white flies are on the bottom of the leaves. So you want to spray
up. Yeah, right.
So that puts the spray right into the flowers. So...
Yeah.
I guess the best thing you can do maybe is shield the flowers with a cup while you spray, and then go from there. Try that.
That'd be pretty tough to do.
Got a lot of blooms, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no simple solution.
Right,
you really don't want to use systemics on them. I don't know if you want imidacloprid in your tomatoes. However, the neurotoxin in imidacloprid is specific to insects.
Yeah. Well, I was just... You know, spend all day going around and beating the bushes of the tomatoes a little bit and getting them to fly away.
Yeah. I guess it's the only way.
But it'd be fun to watch.
That might help pollinate them.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
my wife came out here. She wanted to know how far back to cut those million bells.
Oh, just I don't know. It depends on the
couple
plant.
Hundred.
Couple of hundred.
A couple hundred thousand dollars, that'll do it.
No, but
About a
third of the way back.
Uh huh.
Very good.
They'll look a little bare for a while, but they'll come out and bloom.
All right.
Now make sure to keep
good information.
Make sure to keep those million bells fertilized real well.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Thank
you, Roger. Appreciate it. And thank your wife for asking the question as well, too. Right now, 8:47, we've got to take... Oh, we're a little bit behind. It's time to take a two-minute timeout.
Spring is here at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of annuals, perennials, herbs, trees, and shrubs arriving daily. It's a must-see what they have in stock. Get ready for spring at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home to Bartlesville's largest plant selection. Discount days are back. Every Wednesday, take 10% off regular priced items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5, Sunday.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
It's scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Live, loud, local, and apparently lovable.
I can't say enough great things about your show.
Arrive home informed. It's The Drive at 5 with Garrett Giles. Sports with Max Gross. Weather, markets, and more. All at one place on the dial. K1, the one you trust.
I love it. I love it.
At AM 1400 and FM 93.3. All right, good morning, good morning, good morning. It is 8:50, 10 minutes away from 9 o'clock, and it's the Green Country Gardener Program, 1-800-749-5936. Larry's our expert. I just got to hang out. Take the shots at the weatherman.
I found that you're a fast learner.
Well, that'll be news to my parents.
Oh, golly. Another thing on trees, a lot of people are planting trees. You want to do this, call the 811.
There you go, before
and,
you dig.
Make sure you know where your power lines are.
That's a pretty big shovel he's got there, huh?
You bet. Yeah. But anyway, check it out. And that's a good idea because you certainly don't, especially with Memorial Day coming up, mm-hmm. you don't want to miss binging on the internet. So if you're going to plant a tree, make sure you know where your lines are and
there
all that.
There you go.
So that's a good idea. We were talking a little bit about trees. When you do plant trees, you mm-hmm. want to water them properly. And that is, you want to allow the surface to dry out before watering. On newly planted trees, water the root ball first. All the roots on a tree, especially a container tree when you get mm-hmm. it, all the roots are right there in that container. They're yep. not out in the ground mm-hmm. yet. And that's going to dry out before the mm-hmm. soil does. So you want to monitor when you get your newly mm-hmm. tree planted, mm-hmm. newly planted tree.
There you go.
Yeah, get the sequence right. Then when you get your newly planted tree, I don't have my hat on this. You want to make sure to check out the root ball itself. Mm-hmm. And when it dries out, you want to apply water specifically to the root ball. Now, the trees have, newly planted trees have really not had the opportunity to dry out as of yet. So I wouldn't worry about water here at this mm-hmm. point. We're planting a whole bunch of trees down south of town, and how often should I water it? Well, I don't know. You scoop out the dirt, maybe, or the water, maybe this time of year. Mm-hmm. So just typically when it dries out.
Yeah.
And I was at another house. Man, the area was just a swamp.
It might have been my house. It was looking pretty swampy the other
and
day.
Then you go through some of the neighborhoods, and you see sprinkler systems going. Unconsciously irrigating in with the conditions like they are right now. So people just hit the off switch, you know. Yeah.
It's like, come on, man, come on. So, people are talking, come on.
Yeah, they're talking about you, yeah, especially when one of them breaks about 3 weeks and shoots 50 feet in the air. The Bellagio Hotel here. In
yeah.
So anyway, make sure to use a little judgment when, mm-hmm. when watering your newly planted trees. Most people lose their newly planted trees and shrubs due to overwatering. Too much water.
You
can't water on a schedule.
No.
You have to water on an as-needed basis. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
It'll tell you when it's thirsty.
The sprinkler system typically, when it's dry, mm-hmm. cannot provide enough water without drenching everything else. When you have so don't rely on your sprinkler system to irrigate your newly planted plants they need water right there at the root ball. Mm-hmm. After about 3 weeks or so, the roots are starting to explore. They're getting they put their foot in the water and they're ready to grow. you can back off on the watering a little bit and let the irrigation system take over.
Got it.
So initially, though, they do need specific watering.
Okay. Tell you what, we're going to take a little bit of a break.
A break.
And we'll be right back after this two-minute timeout.
Shortly after Charles Lindbergh's transatlantic flight to Europe, the Dole Pineapple Company sponsored a race from San Francisco to Honolulu in 1927. Lindbergh refused to fly in it, noting he couldn't miss the continent of Europe, but he sure as heck could miss Hawaii. Frank Phillips saw the race as a great opportunity to advertise his new Phillips Aviation Fuel. Frank found his pilot, a Hollywood stunt pilot by the name of Arthur Goebbels, and named his plane the Woolerock in honor of the ranch. Eight planes took off from San Francisco on August 16, 1927, and only two planes finished the race. The flight took over 26 hours, and the winner was the Woolerock. Charles Lindbergh described it as the greatest event in air history. For the next year, that plane barnstormed the country, advertising Phillips fuel, and finally returned to Woolerock. Mr. Phillips instructed his staff to build a stone hangar for the airplane, which they did, and he stored the plane there. As he collected more and more art and artifacts, he stored a lot of it in that hangar until he finally had to enlarge it. Today, you know that airplane hangar is the first room of the museum as you walk out of the dome room. Next time you visit, remember what that room's initial purpose was back in 1928. That same airplane hangs proudly today in the museum at Woolerock, where magic still happens every day. Welcome home to Woolerock.
From Main Street to your street, it's K1 Morning News.
Good morning.
I'm Tom Davis. I'll have your headlines. Phil Weaver keeps you up to date with what's happening around the community, and he has your long-range forecast. Weather highlights with KOTV News on 6 meteorologist Alan Crone. High school, college, and professional sports with Evan Farbach. K1 Morning News.
Every morning when I wake up.
Weekday mornings at 6 o'clock on K1, the one you trust.
All righty, it's back to the Green Country Gardener program. It is 8:56, and our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936.
Shrubs are kind of the same thing, and when it comes down to watering, just make sure they get a little dry in between waterings.
Yeah.
That's not to say let them get bone dry, but just dry enough to where they'll be. And if they get too dry, there's a good chance they'll recover because you don't lose the root system. But if they rot and the root system rots away, it will not come back.
Oh, yeah, you're done.
So it's kind of a one-way switch. So it's better just to let them dry a little bit between waterings than it is to try to keep them constantly wet. So these plants, they're engineered to survive. They're genetically
engineered,
situated to survive dry spells, but they're really not genetically engineered to tolerate wet spells.
Take all this tropical rainforest business that we're doing right now.
Yeah. So, in other words, you want to avoid anaerobic soil as much as possible. Yeah. That's why when we plant trees and shrubs, we add a lot of compost to the soil. The cotton burr compost adds a certain degree of porosity to the soil. So air can get up there and prevent them from rotting away as quickly, at least. So you just have to deal with it in our clay soil. It's just the way it happens.
Yeah. We're blessed and cursed in the same breath here in this part of the world.
And your lawn right now, a lot of people got stuff going on in the lawns. It's time to raise the mower up a notch. I did mine last week. I set it on maximum height. And it's a beautiful green lawn because of that. I added some iron to the soil last weekend, and that darkens the green real well.
I was going to say, I bet that's popping good.
Yes, yeah, really. Anyway, so I ironed my lawn, if you will. Made it kind of high. And the blade gets sharpened tomorrow.
Oh, it does. You're going to get it balanced, too?
I'm going to get it sharpened and balanced, too, yeah.
Good.
I got one of those little blade balancer things. You put it on, and you knock off a little bit of metal on the heavy side to where it achieves a balance. It works really well.
Super.
So it's probably time to sharpen that blade now.
Right.
If you have new grass, be very cautious about spraying weed controls, and especially if you have new zoysia grass, which is probably impossible because they can't get it out of the ground. But But anyway, so be careful with your pre-emergent controls and your broadleaf weed controls on newly planted sod. It can damage it pretty bad right now. Weeds, just go ahead and use a broad spectrum weed control on them. Weed and feed might work in all this rain we've been having. If you can get a dry spell that's 48 hours long, it'll probably work okay.
There you go.
I prefer to use fertilizer and weed control separately, because you have a little bit of control over what weeds you're controlling and so on.
And,
really, the best way to control weeds is to have a healthy lawn.
Lots of grass. It'll choke out the weeds.
Yeah, I use on my yard, I use very few weed killers. I do have some weeds in the spring, but I get all these door hangers. It's not the end of the world. I get a few weeds. But then I can spot spray to control them. But keeping a very dense lawn, you want to encourage the positive. On your lawn and everything else. Anyway, come by the nursery, check out all of our stuff. We have really good annuals and perennials, some hummingbird and butterfly plants, lots of compost, full of that.
Yeah.
And mulch. We also have bulk mulch. The hibiscus are really exhibiting some good color. We still have some tomato plants, a good selection of house plants too, and some succulent plants. Really, really nice looking stuff at the nursery. Anyway. Golly, Tom, I believe we're just about out of time.
So, there we go. Rhonda, Stan, and Roger, come by and pick up your plants.
Oh, yeah, come get your Roger, Stan, and Roger. Keep your shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Lisa Mateo. Americans are excited to travel this holiday weekend despite a surge in gas prices.
We had to cancel our trip last year due to COVID, so we don't care about the traffic. We'll just go with the flow, or we're ahead of